Let's call this meeting of the House Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:38 p.m. on Monday, April 9th, at the year 2012. Present, we have Representative Lynn, Representative Keller, Representative Grunberg, Representative Holmes, myself, Representative Thompson, and Representative Gatto is excused today. First things first, housekeeping. Please disable your electronic device. If they're left on, even on vibrate, they interfere with the recording equipment in this room. So thank you. We have one new resolution to hear today. It's HJR 40. It's the CS for House Joint Resolution Number 40. It's a long title. You want me to read the title into the record?
When I have staff here, we can just assign them. The
title is longer than the resolution.
I'd appreciate if we didn't have to read the title.
I'm going to read it into the record anyway. Commending the governor and the administration for aggressively working to enforce the rights of the state in RS 2477 right-of-ways. Urging the governor and the attorney general to develop a working alliance with other western states to protect and enforce the state's interest in ensuring access using right-of-way authorized by RS 2477. Urging the governor and the attorney general to support the state of Utah and the southern counties of Utah in a lawsuit against the federal government concerning RS 2477 right-of-way.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'm sorry, you're reading the wrong version.
I am.
So you are.
Okay. Well, I'll back up and turn it over to Mr. Pound. Here to present HJR 40 is Jim Pound, aide to Representative Wes Keller. Mr. Pound, place yourself on the record and provide your overview of HJR 40, and I believe it is version I that we are addressing.
It probably is version I as a resource. Excuse me,
yes,
the chairman.
Yes.
Right. I'm Jim Pound. I apologize. I still have the work draft here in front of me. I didn't have the resources.
Okay, go ahead and place yourself on the record. And
Jim Pound, staff representative Wes Keller. If you would like me to read the title, I can do that, but I certainly would appreciate the option not to.
Okay. Sounds good. We have the version in front of us.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. HJR 40, or the CS for HJR 40, is an opportunity for Alaska to move forward on the roads that we have around the state that we're not using and we can't use at the present time. During Governor Hickel's second term, an extensive resources were devoted to identifying and asserting rights of way in the state of Alaska under what is known as RS 2477. RS 2477 essentially is a law that was written in 1866 that was used to allow expansion into the West. It was repealed in 1976, but those states in the West that had already identified RS 2477s were allowed to continue to assert their rights to it. Today in the state of Alaska, we have approximately 670 identified RS 2477s that are pending. In Western states, that number exceeds 18,000 roads and trails. Our HJR 40 brings this work to the forefront once again. It commends the administration on the work that has been done to date, but asks for more. Presently, the state of Utah and several counties in Utah have been forced into lawsuits against the federal government in order to assert their rights. There are problems, possibly, but the courts will make the decisions on all RS-247s as they stand right now. What we are proposing is that we join with Utah's efforts in any means at our disposal. It also asks that the Alaska community communicate and potentially cooperate with other Western states that are working on RS 2477s. Further, it asks the Attorney General to seek funding for this and other issues that are federalism issues within the Department of Law. It would aggressively assert Alaska's right to identify and determine the future of our commerce corridors. I appreciate your opportunity to speak today. I'd be glad to answer any questions. With me, also behind me, is Kent Sullivan from the Department of Law, who is his primary mission is RS 2477s.
Thank you, Mr. Pound. Questions from the committee of the sponsor? Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if I should ask you this, Mr. Pound, or Mr. Solomon, or Representative Keller. These issues have been around a long time, and they've come into this committee from time to time. They haven't been high on my radar because in Mountain View we don't have any of these issues, at least that I'm aware of. Then nobody has said anything to me. but it was my understanding that are these RS-2477 rights-of-way, are they state public rights-of-way? Will they go to the state, or who will they go to?
As I understand it, and I would, again, I'd yield to law on this one as well, Representative Gruber through the chair, they become state property. It's states' rights to access on existing, and it's rather unique in Alaska. It could be, from what I understand originally, it could be as much as an old dog trail. It could be considered as an RS-2477.
Maybe, Mr. Chair, we could ask Mr. Solomon to come up.
Sullivan.
Yes. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Sullivan.
If I could.
He could come up and we could have them both up at the same time so we could get. Because I'm not sure.
Come ahead and place yourself on the record so we know who we've got on there.
Wisdom of Sullivan to the wisdom of Solomon.
Thank you, Chairman Thompson. My name is Kent Sullivan. I'm with the Department of Law. And I'm the attorney who's been designated to handle RS-2477 issues on behalf of the state of Alaska.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to confirm that legally the state would get these rights away.
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, yes, the answer to the question is these rights away would vest in favor of the state of their public rights away that would vest in favor of the public through the state. So they would become public right-of-ways vested with the state.
Okay. The reason I was asking is that the resolution is directed solely at the need of the state to get these issues resolved. But I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Sponsor, that this is to also assist private people to get around the state. And what I was wondering, on page 2, line 28, really this is where it goes to, whether we should add anything there causes great harm to the ability of the state to execute its duty to manage these resources, et cetera. And maybe, because I know you're a great supporter and defender of private property interests, as I think the rest of us are too. Do you want to add anything, a phrase in there, and the rights of private people to get around the state? And I guess I'm sort of, if with a little leeway, but I think it would be nice maybe to put something in there recognizing how important this is to Alaskans personally.
Thank you to the chair, Representative Grunberg. I was so busy presuming that I'm not sure it's in there either. But I would defer to my staff or to Kent. Is it somewhere else in the resolution? And
go right ahead.
If it is, I missed it. In
response to Representative Keller's question through the chair, to my understanding, I think that the way that it's drafted, it was sort of viewed that the state's interests and those of the public, including private citizens, were synonymous and one and the same. So I don't believe there's that distinction made anywhere, and I think that is correct. It does talk about the state's interests.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, through the chair. I'm sorry. I get eager sometimes. I think that's correct legally, but this is a political document too, and we're expressing our desire and how important resolution of these claims is, and I think politically it would do some good to recognize that fact. I think people around here and elsewhere, you're sending it all over the place, would appreciate it. And I'll sort of leave it up to you where you think it should go, but I think we should say something about that.
And I'm probably going to ask you this more from your legal background. Is there not a danger in this particular situation of doing that? And this is a hypothetical question, that there would be an interpretation by the government and or the courts that if an RS-2477 ran across an individual's private property, that they would interpret they were the ones who were going to have to file a suit against the federal government, not the state.
I don't want that to occur. I am thinking that simply putting a few words in the whereas that begins on page 2, line 27, that these RS-2477 easements are also important so private citizens can use these public easements to get to their property. That's all. I'm just putting it in a whereas.
Right.
And I think people would appreciate that. I don't know.
Well, for what it's worth, Mr. Chair, I'm pretty content with the way it is because as I read it over, again, like you go to the second whereas on page 2, line 11, even though the intent there in that whereas is talking about that they're perfected by simple use, you know, or development, I mean, that kind of builds an implication that that's the whole point, is access by Alaskans to the resources. And why else would you have a right-of-way other than manage the state resources, making them accessible? That's I guess you could put in there, make it accessible for Alaskans, you know?
That's all I'm suggesting.
Okay. I want to ask Department of Law what they think, but on page 3, do you see any downside on the first line 1 right after the word accessible, putting in there for Alaskans?
Right after accessible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's all I was suggesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to the extent, I certainly know there's some protocols with regard to ledge legal and what have you, but from what I've seen just right here sitting today, from that I can tell from Department of Law's perspective, I don't believe that would be problematic. No.
I'd better accept that in the front.
Okay. You want further questions before we go to any amendments of Mr. Sullivan or Mr. Pound? Okay.
I would like to make a comment, Mr.
Yes.
Chair, if I could.
If any of you have any curiosity about RS-2477s, Kent Sullivan has really impressed me. And I have a lot of working with DNR and CACFA, as you know, and I've watched him, and, you know, and he has a really good understanding. And he's my my source of information when I get lost. So if you have any questions, this is the guy. You got him here. I appreciate him coming.
All right. No further questions of the sponsor, Mr. Sullivan, Representative Grunberg.
This has probably been answered, but since you're assigned to this, to the chair, Mr. Sullivan, I assume that there is money in the budget to allow you, the Department of Law, to participate in this litigation if necessary.
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, it's my understanding that there's been past incremental budget increases specifically for RS-2477, and those occurred before I came into this position, but that is my understanding, and currently Department of Law is satisfied with its budget, and that's where my funding comes from, and so it's my understanding that has occurred, yes.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, there are several of us on this committee who are on the Department of Law Budget Subcommittee. And if your understanding changes, I hope I'm speaking on behalf of the other members. I know Representative Holmes, is there anybody? You are too. That I hope that you'll let us know, you being the Department of Law. Because I think this is an important issue.
Yeah. Very important.
Yep.
Certainly.
All right. Did you have a question for that?
Nope.
Any further questions of the sponsor, Mr. Sullivan? Seeing none, then we'll go to public testimony. I think we have Rod Arno on from the Mat-Su Alaska Outdoor Council. Rod, are you there?
Yes. Thank you, Chairman Thompson and committee members, for the opportunity to give comment on the SC for HJR 40. My name is Rod Arno. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Outdoor Council. It's 10,000 Alaskans who access public lands to hunt, trap, fish, and just to enjoy the public lands. AOC was instrumental in working with Senator Halford on getting the 602 right-of-ways put into statute in the past, so this is an issue that is really important to us. And while resolutions may be considered only a wish list, this does make public one of the most contentious issues in Alaska today, the lack of public access to public resources. DOT has reported that Alaska has 13,500 miles of highway in the entire state, and that was reported in the Alaska Federal Lands Long Range Transportation Plan. The state of Montana, which is considered rural, has 70,000 miles of road. So clearly there are many Alaskans, AOC members, a lot of them live in Anchorage, that depend on gathering public resources for part of their food supply as well as fuel. Many Alaskan miners are hampered from reaching their claims and working those claims, and this is very important right now to our membership. Access is probably the number one issue to us, so we support the passage of this resolution, and the more people that find out about it and get tuned on it, the better the state's going to be. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Arno. Any questions? Representative Grunberg has a question.
Something Mr. Arno said has caused me to want to ask Mr. Sullivan another question, or maybe Mr. Pound or possibly Mr. Arno.
Any questions for Mr. Arno?
I'm not sure who I'm going to. I need to have somebody answer this.
Go right ahead, Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Somebody mentioned that some of these easements are small, like an animal trail or something like that. As the state gets opened up and transportation corridors need to be built, if you have an easement, an RS-2477 easement, could that be used to build a road or a railroad or something like that, or does it have to be limited to the size of the animal trail?
Representative Grunberg, through the chair, most of the RS-2477s in the state were established long enough ago that many of them came into existence because of mining activity. And we've seen that in a lot of cases, those miners traditionally were walking, and so they were foot trails. But that doesn't mean that now, if an RS-2477 is asserted, that it will be limited to foot traffic. A lot of it has to do with what was the purpose of the use of the trail originally. And if the purpose was to go to a mine and for the reasonable uses associated with that purpose, it can certainly be argued. And a lot of this is sort of gray. It's not all that's it's not black and white in the law, but the case law is fairly clear that those uses can develop over time, and you can still have the same uses today. And so what's important is that you match the use that occurred historically with the use that's occurring today. Down in Utah, for instance, a lot of these are travel corridors from small community to small community where families would go and purchase sundries and what have you at the community on once a month or whatnot, and would take a wagon. Well, today you'd take a vehicle. And so what use created it historically, or what mode of travel that historically was associated with it, is not as important as the type of use. And that type of use is what is sort of important. And so it is true that a lot of these that were developed as foot trails can be used much more extensively. It does, you do have some limitations, however, and you do have to pay attention to what that historic use was. So it's not, if something was a foot trail, it couldn't necessarily be turned into a four-lane highway today. There are going to be reasonable limitations placed upon it. It's what needs to be done in order to accomplish the same types of uses that created it historically. And if a two-track road would suffice, then that may be what you're limited to today. So it's not an easy question to answer, but generally you're not limited to precisely what created it historically. I hope that answers your question.
Oh, yes, to the chair.
All about Representative Grunberg.
This is, I think, and I'm sorry Representative Pruitt isn't here, because we're on the Transportation Committee. I mean, this thing has come through the Resources Committee. It's got some resources implications. It's got judicial implications. But it also has tremendous transportation implications. I don't recall, and I could be wrong, the legislature ever having a hearing on RS-2477 and the implications to the transportation needs of the state. And I think maybe at some point we ought to have a hearing. This could have lots of implications.
Representative Keller.
With an opening like that, I can't pass it up. I just wanted to let you know there's really some exciting strategic planning that's going on. And so the DOT, DNR, along with the U.S. Forest Parks, they've all got together, and they're coming up with what they call a long-range transportation plan. And it won't, you know, be very specific, because it's more in the category of strategic long-term planning, and it's very, very significant in this state where big blocks of our land is, you know, it consists of federal land that's been set aside. So there is some thought going into this, and if you're interested, I can get you that plan, number one, and I will also commit to you that I will keep you posted as that progresses.
Mr. Chair, Representative Keller, I can see a lot. I've been missing a lot in this issue, because it just hasn't come up with the importance of putting commas in legislation, right? I would like to see, I don't know if you're kind of taking the lead on this, maybe this is the kind of thing we could talk to the Transportation Committee about having a hearing on and really looking at seeing what we can do, not just with respect to passing a resolution, but to seeing what we can do to get something done about this and what we can do legally at the state level to implement this stuff. And I don't want to just spout off here, but I'm most interested in following up. And it's a good segue into getting into some of these issues in parts of the state that you represent that we don't represent in Anchorage. And these are the parts that are implicated, and there are a lot of people in the legislature who don't happen to be on this committee who represent those areas. I am extremely interested in this. Yeah.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Representative Keller.
You're making a case for HGR 40, and I appreciate it. It really is, because this information that we're gathering and this work that's being done is all going to build into that. So.
Okay. Thank you both.
All right. is there any further questions for Mr. Arno, who's still on the line? Seeing none, Mr. Arno, thank you very much for your testimony on this. And we're still under anybody in the room or online that would like to testify to HJR 40? Seeing none, then public testimony is closed, and we'll come back to the committee. Do we have any amendments? Representative Grunberg?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In light of our previous conversation, I would move an amendment. We'll label it amendment number one. And it's on page 3, line 1. After the word accessible, insert the phrase to Alaskans.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, conceptual amendment number one is so adopted.
Yeah, I'll make that a conceptual.
Okay. Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move amendment number two, which would be, and I'm happy to make this conceptual if people would like, which is page 3, delete lines 9 through 12. That's the final whereas.
Any objections? Seeing no objections, conceptual amendment number 2, deleting lines 9 through 12 on page 3, is adopted. Further discussion by the committee. You know, I think this is a very important thing. A person I know in Fairbanks many years ago was trying to get into his mine in on the Kantishna, and he was taking a cat back across an old trail. And he had the government come in with helicopters and guns and stopped him, and his cat sat out there for about a decade and a half or two. I think it might still be sitting out there, but they arrested him, and they were just, this is what this is to dealing with. It's an old trail that went back to a mine that he has. So this is something to me that is very important. Any closing comments by the sponsor? Mr. Pound.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Holm, through the chair, that would also require a title change. Are you aware of that?
Are you sure? I looked. Mr. Chairman, I made it conceptual so that if any title change that needs to happen would fall under the conceptual amendment. Thank you for being sure. I looked at it. I didn't think it would require one, but we'll make it conceptual just in case.
Representative Grunberg.
And I would ask that in vein of amendment number one, that if any tweaking needs to be done to the title, that that be included within that conceptual amendment. That's tabled with the chair.
Making sure.
Any further discussion by the committee?
I think it's a good bill, Mr. Chair. Good resolution.
Can I have a motion?
Sure. Can I move my own bill?
You want to, or do you want me to have Lindsay do it?
I'd like
to do your own bill.
We move HR 40 version LS 1407 India with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal.
As amended. Any objections from the committee?
Nope.
Hearing none, then we have moved House Joint Resolution 40 as amended from committee, and that's the only business that we had today. Next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, we will have Senate Bill 210 before the committee.
What's that about?
What's that? Do we know? Do we have a short title?
I don't have it in front of me.
Well, we'll be Crimes Against Children.
Crimes Against Children.
We don't like crimes against children. We're against crimes against children.
And at this time, it is 2:05 p.m., and I adjourn today's meeting of the House Judiciary Committee.